As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
.755 is real with David O'Brien and Erica Flaherty. It is on the air now. Welcome to 75 is Real, presented by Topps. Check out Topps Project 70, celebrating 70 years of Topps baseball cards. All right, man. Eric, I'm with my co-host, Erik O'Flaherty. You guys know him. You love him. Former left-hander with the Braves, who the Braves could use right now, as a matter of fact.
No, they could not.
You don't think you could help out?
Maybe one game, and then I need a week off.
Well, we're down here in Miami, and the Braves, I know everybody's getting tired of hearing it, and I know Smith's getting tired of being asked about it. The last time he was asked, he's just like, you know what? I'm just going to look at Friday. Bowman asked him about, you know, getting to five, still having that chance to get to 500 after winning that game in Pittsburgh. But they'd have to sweep the Marlins to be over 500 at the break. Can't be at 500. It's going to be below or above. And these Marlins just took three straight from the Dodgers before the Dodgers won yesterday down here to salvage one win out of four. So the Marlins are no joke, man. They got some good young arms. They lost Sixto Sanchez for the rest of the year. But we've seen them enough this year to know they're no joke. They're 6-4 against the Braves. So, but I thought that game the Braves played at Pittsburgh – one, it underscored how wildly inconsistent this team is. I mean, they throw up 20 on a team or 14 or 13, and then they go 10 games without scoring more than three runs. You know, it's just the nature of this season this year. But it was a big one as far as not getting swept by the Pirates. They would have been the first team swept by the Pirates all year, home or road. And, you know, get a little momentum going to that off day, which is, you know, as they spend down here on Key Biscayne.
Those off days in Miami are nice.
Yeah.
Most guys bring their family, you know, swim in the pool, get some sun, fish. It's a good day to kind of reset mentally. But, yeah, that you would have liked to do better in Pittsburgh. But, I mean, it's just anything can happen in baseball, man. I didn't see a series going that way, but it did. And same thing in Miami. You know, Miami's a tough place to play.
Especially given the pitchers they faced in Pittsburgh, you know, they got the draw. They're their worst guys, two guys with ERAs like 5.2 and 5.8 or something. Then the guy they faced in the final was Fanelli, was over 6 ERA. So, and all those starters pitched well. That guy didn't, but the others pitched really well against them. So, you know, we've discussed ad nauseum this offense. I think it is what it is. I think Orlando Arcia was a nice addition, and LaCroix, I thought the other day LaCroix played a great game. We forgot the little things that people can do because we never see this team bunt, and LaCroix lays down that sacrifice bunt. It's only the second one he's had in like 5 years, but you'd have never known it. It was like old school baseball there, and it ended up being pretty big too in that huge inning they had, 6-run inning, I think it was.
I'm interested to see how the staff does throwing to him.
Yeah.
You know, just I really believe in that. Having a veteran back there is a big deal. You know, you'll see it play out, but you know, I don't like being hard on Contreras. I think he's had a lot on his plate. You know, trying to manage a staff your first year in the big leagues and you know handle big league hitting at the same time. There's times where he's kind of looked overwhelmed.
Yeah,
I think he's got a bright future, but just having a guy like LaCroix back there, calling pitches, you know, going through games and handling, you know, some of the relievers, some of the guys that can kind of go either way. I think it'll be good. And I'm just interested to see how he does catching.
And he's handled quite a bit of them too at either at Gwinnett or like Smiley. Yeah. He caught him the World Baseball Classic a couple of times. So he does know these guys and he's been around forever, you know, over just over a decade and pretty damn good catcher for a while there. A couple of all-star bursts and was on both sides of the ball. He could really hit for a while.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I think it was a good move and partner having him and Kevin Smith, two veterans, you know, to handle these guys until they get Darno back, and Darno's going to be back in August, and that could be really big to add his bat back. You know, I know he started slow, but we saw what he could do last year when he was hitting cleanup for these guys. So that could be nice having him, bring him back, hit him fourth or fifth, make this lineup a lot deeper. And I, like I said, I thought Arcia has done a good job since he's been up. You know, he had a home run. He hit several singles. And handled, you never know, he wasn't a left fielder because he's looked good out in left field, made a couple nice catches. So we'll see. I mean, they're right there, still in it. We keep saying that, but there they are. They're hovering around 500, just below it, and they're still three, four games behind first place. So the race is still wide open, man.
I look at that a lot more than I look at the games above and below 500 right now. I mean, old school dudes always tell you if you can get to 10 games above 500 is when your season's really looking good, regardless of what everybody else in your division's doing. But for me, I just look at three and a half, four games back, you know.
Especially this year when there's going to be one team out of this division, I think.
It's going to be one because there's three teams in the West.
The West that's too good, yeah.
They're taking them. I mean, even if the Giants have a terrible second half, they're probably still sneaking into the wild card.
Right.
I mean, but four games back, you can flip-flop in a week. You know, the other team struggles. So, I mean, I look at that, and I'm sure people are tired of hearing us say it, but – I mean, that's what the baseball season is. It's just constantly giving yourself a positive message and finding your way through it till you get hot.
Yeah, and I thought the way they kind of played, the energy they showed in those Pittsburgh in that finale after losing those first two, they could have just said, let's just get out of here and get down to have an off day and regroup. But instead they went out, pounded those guys, had an hour and a half rain delay and came back and kept pounding after the rain delay. So I thought those were all good signs from this team. I mean – they're not throwing in the towel, man. People might think that, you know, at times they look kind of lackluster out there, but they're not. I mean, they're still – Acuna, you know, still plays with the same energy as ever. Ozzy plays with the same energy that he always does. You'd never know. I mean, Heredia, these guys, you never know that these guys were – whether they were five games over 500 or three or four under.
Yeah, I thought that throw Acuna made from right field was a joke.
Yeah.
I like watching those because you watch the positions that those guys get their bodies into to throw. I mean, throwing 95 flat-footed, you know, he couldn't crow hop. He just had to spin and throw. Yeah. To be able to do that, man, is just insane. Because, look, I long tossed every day. I busted my ass, and I had a good arm. I could throw 95 on the best day of my life off a mound with cleats, you know, like with everything working out, and I'm having a great arm day. This guy catches a one-hopper off the fence.
Yeah.
Spins and throws 95. It's so stupid. Just everything he can do with his body, man. And it would have got him. You know, I mean, if Riley picks that, it was a tough hop. But if Riley picks that, he threw him out.
I mean, I think you can count on one hand the number of guys in the major leagues that could even think about doing that spin, natural athleticism, and then to have that arm. They put him side by side. Ballack did a real good job of putting him side by side
with Clemente.
Yeah. And it looks so similar.
Yep.
It really did. The play, the spin was identical. And, you know.
Mookie Betts is maybe the only other guy that pops into my head that could do something like that right now. I mean, there's more guys, but it's just insane. But if you take like a side angle of the position he gets into from a standstill and you put that on a mound, it's like the ideal pitching position. You know, like his foot's down, his back hips turned, his arms back.
Yeah.
And everything's just loaded up perfect. And he can just jump and relax into that position. It's crazy.
Last night, Camarena, this pitcher for the – I'm pronouncing it right, I hope. This pitcher for the Padres, they're getting blown out last night by Scherzer and the Nats. 8-0. I mean, and Scherzer's still pitching. And it's like he gets in a little trouble. I think it's 8-2, and the bases are loaded. but they leave the pitcher in because they had run through a lot of pitchers the night before. I think they were just, you know, basically going, we're going to ride with this guy. We're not going to go to the bullpen again this early. He's had one career at bat in the majors, had like a 170-something batting average in a long minor league career. This is the great thing about baseball. You never are this surprised in football, basketball, like you are in baseball. Dude drops a bat head on a pitch like down at his shins and hits a line drive grand slam off Max Scherzer. I mean, they come back and win that game 9-8. I mean, that's insane.
I mean, it's like that's like the play where the ball randomly winds up in a lineman's hand or something like that.
Yeah.
And he runs 80 yards for a touchdown. That's how unlikely that is. Or even maybe even more unlikely. Yeah. Did you see his dad?
Yeah. That was great.
His dad's watching it. Your dad knows you can't hit. He's great, just hoping he doesn't strike out or something. He sees that ball start flying and just loses his mind. That was a cool, just overall cool thing.
And the place was going crazy, man. The people.
Oh, I bet.
It was, and then they come back and win the thing. And with the walk
San Diego off. Looks like they got some pretty good crowds lately. Yeah, like this
yeah they
year.
Do. Once they opened it up.
It used to be a boring place to play. When they were just kind of, you know, not good, not bad, and just throwing a team out there. There was no energy in that park. But Braves watching the highlights now, man, it looks packed. The
Braves would go in there for a midweek series, and it was like a mausoleum, a library in there. Beautiful park, great weather, and you're like, God, everybody's just hanging out. Nobody's doing anything.
It's just eating tacos at the beach.
Yeah, yeah, it's a totally different atmosphere now. It's a lot closer to what the Dodgers have now. I mean, that place is energy. It's energy, especially when the Dodgers come in there. But anybody really, they're last night for the Nats, they were middle of the week, they were packing the place, or Sunday night, I mean. Eric, let's hear from today's sponsors.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
This series heads into the All-Star break, obviously. It's the last three games for the break. And the weird thing this year, I don't know why MLB decided to do it this way. I know why they were moving the draft back. They moved it back a month, 5 weeks. But to put it on the same weekend as All-Star weekend, I don't understand why they're doing it. To me, there's already enough time getting interest in the draft because it's not like the football and basketball draft where these guys are going to have instant impact, you know, the top guys. But to put it on Sunday, day of the futures game, the day when all the guys are arriving, you know, the last day of the regular season before the All-Star break, that's the first round that night. Okay, but even worse is you have the second and third days of it on Monday, which is like media day at the All-Star game and all that, celebrity softball, that bullshit, and the Home Run Derby. I mean, why would you have the draft on the second day? And then the final day of it, when nobody really cares about, you know, except the guys on your team being drafted, is the day of the game. So I don't know what they're doing. I don't know why they decided to do it this way, but it is what it is. And basically, they're centering it in Denver. That's where the draft is being originating from. And we'll see how it goes. But Braves are picking 24th, so it's not going to be one of the guys, you know, the marquee guys. Although it could be that dude from Mississippi State that struck out 15 in the World Series before they won the national championship, Bednar. I've seen him on a couple of mocks going to the Braves at number 24, so we'll see. I kind of hope it's this high school shortstop 95 to 99 pitcher, Bubba Chandler from Georgia, from near Athens. 6'4", two-sport guy, signed to play football at Clemson, to play football and baseball at Clemson, quarterback. And he's got a dude's ambidextrous. threw an inning, struck out the side, throwing left-handed in a high school game. And he's right-handed. And he could supposedly throw a football 50 yards with his left hand. How about that?
That guy's going to cost that. The football dudes, you almost always have to pay more for them.
They got leverage.
Because they got more leverage than anybody else. I remember the Braves or the Mariners when I was there drafted Tuiasa Sopo in like the fourth round. Uh-huh. But he had that commitment to UW. So they still paid him 2.2 or 2.3 in the fourth round. So that's just such a good negotiating tool, you know, to have on your side when you go into the draft and you're like, fine, don't sign me. I'll go play college football.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
I mean, that's not bad. There's a kind of a history of Georgia high school kids going to play quarterback at Clemson lately.
Yeah.
No, like I think it was Frenchie too. He was too sport. You know, he was going to play football at Clemson if he didn't sign, but he was going to sign all along. But yeah, this guy's a stud. I think he'll sign. I think baseball is his first love. So somebody will draft him and give him a nice bonus, I would think, unless he falls to the second round. But anyway, what do you remember about the draft? What round did you go in?
I went in the sixth. So it's funny, man, because I went into the draft. Well, my junior summer in high school, I started throwing like 84. So I had no attention from any schools, but it was the first time I'd ever really stretched my arm out and pitched. So I played on these travel teams for the first time. And by the fall, I got up to like 93, 94. And I kind of flew, like just exploded onto the map, you know, as far as scouts go, because they didn't even know who I was. I go to this big tournament in Arizona. They see me throwing 93 for five innings.
Uh-huh.
And so during that game, I had scouts calling my parents, freaking out, telling them, you know, we got to meet you. We want to sit down with him, all this stuff. And they're telling me, you know, you're going to be a first rounder because I was left-handed throwing 93. And we go into that winter and I got scouts coming into my house. I mean, three, four times a week, there's a team coming to my house, meeting with my parents. But when I go out, so I'm just dead set. I'm going first round. You know, I'm going to buy a Ferrari or something. Yeah. I'm just like, I'm dead set. I'm signing first round. So I already had my mind made up. But I go into the winter and the spring. And in baseball in like Texas and Arizona, these guys are prepared. Yeah. They have programs. They're throwing all year. They're ready to roll. I picked up a baseball before my senior year, like 3 weeks before the season. Right. So I've thrown like two bullpens. I go out to my first game. It's 40 degrees out. I don't have any arm strength built up. And there's 30 scouts in the stands. I come out throwing 83. I'm throwing 82, 83. And I see the scouts one after another kind of like look at their gun, look down at it, hit it, make sure it's working. Like, what the hell am I sitting here in 40 degree weather with, you know, negative wind chill watching this dipshit throw 83 for one after another? I kept peeking up in the stands and they just packed up their radar gun and left. So wow. I didn't really get my arm strength built up until like my last two starts before the draft. And by then teams had already turned all their stuff in. The Braves were pretty heavy on me. They actually had called me and asked if I would sign for a certain dollar amount in the fifth round. And then somebody else fell to them that they liked more. And then I was on the phone with them again in the sixth and they were still going to give me a fourth round bonus. Mm-hmm. And the Mariners called and were like, you know, we're going to take you with our next pick. Will you sign? And I was so dumb, man. Every team has said, will you sign? Whatever dollar amount they threw out there, I was like, yeah, let's do it. I'm in.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I probably cost myself some money saying that, but I wound up going to the Mariners in the sixth round. And it wasn't like now, you know, it wasn't like, you know, everything's on TV and all this stuff. I was just watching that draft tracker in some, you know, back classroom at the high school. And there was no hype, nothing going on. It was, you know, you just get these phone calls.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a little bit different animal now.
Yeah. Well, these guys, I mean, the internet wasn't what it was now.
Yeah. 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 I mean, Georgia kids. Yeah. They're like the ones in Texas and Florida. I mean, they're playing almost year round, you know? I mean, they're playing fall ball and they're playing throwing indoors. And
I didn't have any prep. I mean, I was lifting with the football team until like, you know, 3 weeks before the season. And then I just picked up a baseball and started chucking and figured 93 would be there. And it wasn't.
That's the way it's done, right? Lift with the football team until 3 weeks before the season and just start throwing.
Nope.
Wow.
I mean, it just takes time to build up arm strength. And I didn't really, I just thought, you know, I did it before. I was like, I throw 93 now. So I'll just show up and do that. And it was like 82, 83. And the scouts were just like, what the hell am I watching?
Do the Mariners try to do what the – I mean, obviously it's different because there's so much talent in Georgia, but Atlanta always – you know, if there was really good prospects, because there always are a handful here of potential first-rounders, the Braves always like taking those guys if all things were equal. Yeah. You know, do with the Mariners like that with guys out there? Or are there so few out
for
there?
Sure.
So the,
yeah, no,
the
they
few
are.
That are there, they want to get them, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I actually, so I threw, and this was another thing I was doing wrong. Before the draft, I went and pitched a Legion ball game. I threw a complete game on Friday in Spokane and then drove to Seattle for a showcase the next day. So I probably threw 120 pitches the day before. And then I went out and faced live hitters. I went and faced live hitters at Safeco Field, threw like a 30-pitch bullpen for the scouts, and then faced hitters. So, I mean, I just – it wasn't planned out well. You know, I wasn't giving them my best showing. But I still – you know, I did all right, and they liked me, and they wound up drafting me. But, you know, I think being prepared and knowing, you know, what I was getting into and being in a different, you know, state of mind, I probably could have got drafted a lot higher. But it was just what it was.
Has driveline affected the talent level out there? Or more of those kids
getting
in? Yeah, I would think so.
Well, see, I was on the other side of the state, but even if you're a high school kid, you know, there wouldn't have been the facilities back then to go throw at and stretch your arm out. And that was part of my problem was, which one of your buddies is going to come play catch with you in long toss before the baseball season in 30-degree weather? You know, I mean, the season starts and like, I think it's like late March, but it's double headers and it goes quick. So now guys have driveline and, you know, just the knowledge too. Like if I had any of the knowledge of like how to maintain my body, how to do mobility, I had nothing, you know, it was just show up and throw the ball hard.
Hey, so what did you do? You're a guy from the West Coast. What did you do at All-Star breaks when, do most of the guys go home that live on the West Coast or whatever?
No, not on the West Coast because it's like you're going to spend 2 days traveling.
2 days traveling. But if you're anywhere, I mean, if you're within a few hours, probably a couple hours plane ride, you go home and spend the day. If you
got family, all the guys on the East Coast do, especially, you know, like the guys with big money just get a private jet and they leave like right after the game. But some guys go to like Bahamas or some little trip. You know, get out of there. But for me, 4-hour flight, time change, it was almost like it just wasn't worth it to go home. I got lucky a couple times when I was with Oakland. We played Seattle before the All-Star break or after it.
Yeah.
So I wound up getting like 7 days at home where that was cool. But most of the time, I mean, it's not worth it to do that time change and fly all over the place.
You see, there's a few guys. We were talking about guys skipping the All-Star DeGrom. Game. There's a few. DeGrom, but then also two from the Astros.
Altuve, Correa, I think.
Yeah, two from the Astros.
But I'm telling you, it's hard to get across to people, but the dudes that have been there for know, 6-7 All-Star, it's not that fun for them anymore. They'd rather just have 3 or 4 days off.
And it's going to be a select group of guys. In DeGrom's case, he's the best. He's been to a bunch of them already. He's the best pitcher in the world. And Altuve and Correa, they've won a World Series. They've been to All-Star games. It's like, okay. You know,
and if you have any injury or nagging, you know, thing going on, like DeGrom's come out of plenty of starts where he probably doesn't want to
be
waste
stupid
those
for
bullets,
him to
you
go.
Know?
Yeah. He's doing the right thing. Go home, rest for 4 or 5 days. He's had nagging stuff seems like every start. You know, the last thing you want to do is go out and feel some twinge when you pitch him one inning in the All-Star game. And you're going to be jacked up even if you're DeGrom. You don't want to get hit. You know, you're one inning of work.
I was thinking too, you know.
He would be starting if he pitched in it.
What if you make the All-Star game because DeGrom doesn't feel like coming? You know, like I don't think that feels as good as getting voted in and being on the All-Star ballot the first time. When they call you up and they're like, hey, DeGrom wants to go fishing. You want to be an All-Star? Yeah. You know, I don't know if that hit the same.
Yeah, especially if you're like watching as the guys go down, you're seeing somebody, and then the phone rings, and you're like, "Hey, we've got an opening for the."
couldn't fill this role, so
you
want to
show
up.
A couple of years later, nobody remembers that you were an alternate added to it because the baseball reference it just says All Star.
Yep. Yeah, and I mean you get paid for it too. But I was looking at those jerseys and thinking the same thing, like. If this was the only year you made the All-Star team and they came out with those ugly-ass jerseys. You got to hang one of those on your wall, you know, because you're going to hang that thing. If you get one All-Star appearance, you're going to have that jersey forever.
Awful. I mean,
they're
awful.
Terrible. Some of the New Era hats that are coming out, I don't know what's going on.
I don't know what's going on in New Era. They hired somebody who has no background in baseball because the one with the multi-fonts – like upside down logos. Fonts. Oh my God, they look awful.
They put the skyline in the background. Yeah. They turned the logo upside down, put a pair of socks on the side.
The percentage of people that would like those is so small. I can't believe that they don't have a feel for what's going to make money, because that's not going to make money.
7-year-old with undiagnosed ADD or something would love that thing.
Those are going to be sold on discount racks at
forever.
At what's that low? Crappy store? That discount store?
Clothing. They're going to be floating around Marshall's, the dollar store.
They're going to be at Marshall's. They're going to be on the, for $5 at Marshall's. You watch those things. You know they pulled the ones we ridiculed them so much. They pulled that one line of hats. They didn't even sell them.
Really.
Where they had like in Atlanta, they had a UFO for AT aliens, yeah. And they had Peach on it. And then a couple of cities, they had like area codes for those cities, and they had some area codes wrong.
They're gonna be floating around wherever those Super Bowl loser shirts go.
Yeah,
a bunch of kids,
like some underprivileged kids, and some third world country or
all the stuff reminds me of that Steve Buscemi gift, you know, where he's like, "How do you do, fellow kids?" there's just not the feel there.
Oh man!
Hey, real quick, do you guys want to see something that might surprise you about the new era hats?
What?
Just look at your screen real fast. They are sold out. No. Every single hat on their website.
Oh my God!
Is sold out.
Okay, but how many did they make? They started with 50.
That's something to consider, but even 50 people buying.
Wow, I'm shocked.
Unless New Era themselves bought their own product.
I'm shocked.
Just buy them and write sold out under
them. I'm shocked. Really, I'm shocked. You think, I want to look into this. They might have pulled these too, dude.
I was going to check that up just as you were saying it, but that's yesterday.
All right, I haven't seen anybody wear one yet. Have you seen?
No, I'm not either.
Let me know if you see somebody wear one. Yeah,
they were so atrocious that I thought that too.
I thought they were worse than the ones they pulled last time. These were worse. These are like, where did that come from? Multi fonts. Because everybody's screaming for multi font hats. Guys, let's take a quick break and then we'll finish up the show.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
Which little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
If you're as obsessed with basketball as I am, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Hey guys, this is JJ Redick. Twice a week, I'm cooking up something special for basketball junkies on my podcast, The Old Man and the Three. I bring on guests in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, like Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, or Paolo Banchero on his shooting workouts with Kevin Durant, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron when they were teammates in Miami. But it's not just about the player interviews. Every Monday, I break down the top three things happening around the NBA without the outlandish takes. Often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler, we dive deep into topics like rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? The Old Man and the Three is the only companion podcast you'll need during the playoffs this year. Be sure to listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
We talked about the Braves are going to get Darno back, and they're also going to get Yanoa back. And I'm curious to see how Yanoa is used when he gets back. Yanoa could be back as soon as late August. And with the starters pitching the way they are right now, I really think he could help the bullpen unless they bring in – they need to trade for a couple of relievers. But given what they've done lately, which is not much, making moves, it's got to be considered for bullpen rather than spend 5 weeks building him up to start.
That's lateral play late in the game.
Yeah.
Even as a starter, he's throwing upper 90s sometimes when he feels good.
So, yeah.
He's definitely got the stuff. You just got to look at, where the need's at.
And he did it some last year too.
Yeah. Well, I like the role he was in last year when he comes back.
Yeah.
Because he seems like a guy that can handle not knowing when he's going to pitch.
Yep.
So if you wind up needing him, you know, even a game where you wind up needing three innings out of the pen and it's somewhat close.
Yeah.
Bring him in, let him shut it down and let him kind of get stretched out on the roster versus trying to, if you say he's going to be a starter, he's got to have 2-3 starts in Gwinnett. He's got to build up way longer.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I like that role for him. If you decide you want an eighth inning dude, or, I mean, he's got the stuff to close too.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of, you know, can he handle it mentally? Because there's a lot of pressure in the ninth, but bring him back and keep him in that role he was in last year and let him kind of get stretched out actively and just see what the need is. Because he can do a lot of different things.
Yeah. Be the opener, go in into inning with him, you know, go two.
You got three, a doubleheader, and he's already thrown, you know, three in his last relief appearance. See if you can get four out of him.
And I wouldn't have said that early on, but the starters are throwing so much better now than they were. So,
yeah.
I mean, Smiley has just turned it around, man. This guy's pitching. The other day, he gives up 3 1/1 in Pittsburgh, and I'm going, here we go. Finally gave up a home run because he'd gone 4 starts without giving up one. But the way that he regrouped, he was not doing that in April and May, man. He ended up having a decent start. Gives up 3 runs in 5 innings, you know.
Isn't it crazy that he's been good for a while, but that here we go, you know, how that first impression you make, or if you start off struggling, everybody's just always waiting with that here we go again.
Yep.
You know, that's so hard to shake as a player, but I think he's done a good job of that, you know, at least in his own world, you know, just personally shaking that. And he has a bad first inning and he's able to put it behind him and roll versus like, shit, here we go again. I'm going to give up 7.
And limit it to 1 homer. He's like 5-0 with a sub-2 ERA in his last 5 starts.
The people still hate him.
It's the best run of any starter this year.
Yeah.
Well, and a lot of the people still hate Luke Jackson, who's been the best reliever. So they hate their best starter and best reliever.
That's baseball. At least online baseball.
Yeah.
Teammates know it.
Yeah. Yeah. They appreciate what he's done. I mean, he's earning his keep now, you know, the $11 million contract. If he just keeps this going, I mean, it's going to be crucial for them because the And they're getting good. Ian Anderson's been solid, you know. I think people look at Ian Anderson last year and just assumed he was going to do what he did last year again, sub-2 ERA.
Yeah.
It's like nobody knew him last year. You know, there was no scouting report on him. There was nothing. He was, you know, nobody was gearing up for him. Everybody knew him coming into this year. I mean, you know, he's.
Well, and if he showed up this year, if this was your first impression of him. You'd be extremely pleased with it. It's just that he set the bar so high last year that it's like, you know, maybe he's not as good as we thought or something like that. But if he had just gotten called up this year and pitched the way he had, you'd be like, yeah, this guy's got a future.
23 years old, yeah.
Yeah, he's, you know, nowhere to go but up.
Yeah, he's still got basically a half season, you know, under his belt.
Yeah.
Barely over a half season.
Looked good. Charlie's looked good. Charlie still, you know, occasionally has that inning.
Right, the one bad inning. That
kind of derails it.
Yeah, that in Pittsburgh. If you would have told me Max Fried was going to be like the most erratic one out of it, you know, after April and May, because Smiley was just bad then for April and then parts of May. But Fried, I'm surprised. Whenever he has a bad game, I'm surprised. But he's had quite a few of them this year, you know, where you're like, where did that come from, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, is he just that type of pitcher that if his curveball's not on that day, you know, he doesn't throw hard enough that he can just blow people away, so he's prone to a game like that? I mean, I don't know.
I mean, I think you go through years where you're battling.
Yeah.
You know, you create a bad habit and you kind of go back to it and you fall into it and you're always fighting that habit. You get offline. You know, there's years. Like, I had some years where I didn't even have to think on the mound. I didn't have to make a single adjustment. You know, I just had one simple key. And then there was other years, you saw him, where it was like, fuck, every time out, I don't know what's going
to
happen.
We're like, Jesus, what happened to Flaherty?
Hey, and I'm thinking the same thing while I'm doing it. I'm like, I'm pushing the same button I pushed last year. It was 93 on the black, and now it's 89 cutting down the middle. You know, I mean, that's just the battle of baseball, is you kind of have years where your body's functioning different or you create some bad habits. And
yeah.
For me, it's not like, you know, Fried isn't this guy, and he's probably not the guy that you saw last year or the year before where you're like, this guy's going to win 20 games every year with a 1.5. You know, he's probably somewhere in the middle, but this is a battle year for him where he's got to figure it out and make adjustments and get through it. And, you know, those are the years that derail some guys. You know, you give up, all of a sudden Max has a 5 and he's not making the adjustments and you just fall off a cliff for your career. For him, you know, he's probably just, he's feeling for it a lot this year, and he's still able to battle and go out there And it's the same thing as with Smiley or Morton. It's like, as long as they find it by playoff time,
right,
you know what he can do.
And that, and that, it was the great sign that that blister didn't linger, because it was hot and humid down in Atlanta. He's pitching and in some other places they've been, and it did not come back. So that's a big one. It was smart putting him on that 10-day IL.
Yeah.
10-day
And that's
IL,
another thing, you know, he's had to kind of have a few things like that this year where
it
kind of gets you out of your
– He had the hamstring.
Out of that role you're on.
Yeah, he had the hamstring. Yeah. All right, well – let's see what the Braves can do in this last series. Like Snit said, I'm just going to look at Friday. Don't think about the whole series. But, I would be shocked if Acuna gets hit again. But I've said that before when they face the Marlins. But if he were to get hit in the first pitch of any of these games, oh, my God.
See, I wonder if he even gets hit, period, if it'll be warnings or if somebody gets tossed after last week. But – I mean, he's going to keep getting hit.
They didn't give warnings the day after that game, so we'll see.
They didn't.
No, they
didn't. Because they probably, they knew they blew it. But, yeah, if he, at this point, it's like, it's always going to look suspicious when they hit him because they've hit him so many times. But, you know, a righty flies open on a fastball.
It just can't be the first pitch.
It cannot be the first pitch of the game.
Well, stay tuned. He's putting up some they got some guys that are going to have some hellacious numbers at the break, man. You know, Ozzie Albies, Jesus, people, he gets so overlooked somehow. But, I mean, this guy's having a hell of a year. The extra base hits and the RBIs, he is for a guy that's still trying to figure it out, switch hitting, you know, still trying to get that one side back, you know, anywhere near the other.
Yeah.
He's a hell of a player. He's a hell of a player, man.
He is. I mean, if Acuna wasn't on the team, it'd be there'd be a lot. It's just he kind of steals the spotlight from him, but he's pretty damn good too.
Yeah, it's hard to think of two guys, you know, on a team being
that dynamic and getting all the attention.
But they are, man.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll be back on here once during the All-Star break, probably Monday or Tuesday. And we'll talk about how this last weekend went and the All-Star game. Kind of looking forward to this All-Star. The Home Run Derby, man. Yeah, we got to talk the day after the Home Run Derby.
I watched the 98 Home Run Derby. The farthest ball hit was 510. I bet my house there's a ball hit farther than that.
Oh, yeah. I'm guessing 550 is the over-under.
I put the over-under at 535, and I don't feel good about it. I think it's going to get beat.
Yeah, I think it will, because especially if they use juice balls, which I think they will. Like, why not?
Gonna be
why juiced. Not go for it? Take
they're
advantage.
They're
going to
grab those 2019 balls.
They're going to take advantage of, because when are they going to be at Mile High again? Nope. 20 years. So yeah, go all out. It's going to be something, man. It's
Ohtani's going to hit one 600 feet.
Oh my God, Ohtani! I'm just kind of surprised Acuna's not in it, man. I really did expect him to be, but they might have done smart things. Said, you know what? I don't want any of these nagging injuries in the second half. I don't want to risk tweaking something going for it.
Yeah.
Plus, he's got to look at that competition and go, I'm not winning that Home Run Derby with, you know,
Gallo,
Ohtani and Gallo and the defending champion.
Yeah, he could win it, though.
He could, of course. But Ohtani,
it'd be fun to watch him.
It's going to be tough to beat Ohtani.
He's going to hit a ball. I'm at least 550. He's going to leave the stadium, and he's probably going to hit those seats in dead center up above the trees.
The what is that? Sky, what do they call it? Rock pile.
He's going over that.
All right. Well, stay tuned. We'll be back here on Tuesday then, I guess. We'll plan for that. All right. 755 is real. We're out. Thanks.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.